Today I want to talk about the flow through, because you remember on Tuesday we talked about, what did we talk about? Yeah, not very good. Attitude. We talked about attitude in the kingdom. We had the four lepers. Remember the four lepers who went out to see what the Aramaeans had in their camp, because they were going to starve to death if they stayed around the city. If they went into the city, everybody was dying in there. The king was not happy. He was trying to take Elijah's head off. So they said, well, we'll go over to the other guys and see if they kill us. If they kill us, we'll just die faster than starving to death. And if they don't kill us and they feed us, then we don't die. And so they went out to the camp. 2 Kings 7, isn't it? We went out to the camp, and there was just lots of stuff. Food. Table was ready. Gold, clothes, horses, everything tied up. The Arameans had all run away in terror. But the point of the story, that's the story where the king's servant said, it won't happen. Elijah said, this time tomorrow it's going to be cheap. Price of gas will be 10 cents a liter, he said. And the deputy minister, or the king's right-hand man, in Canada that would be the lieutenant governor, I suppose, said, if God should open the windows of heaven, can this be? In other words, I don't believe it. And Elijah said, you'll see it, but you won't eat it. They were 3 days going back and forth to the camp to bring all that stuff in. On the first day, the king's servant was put in charge of the gate to go out to the camp. And the people were hungry, and they trampled the king's servant in the gate. That wasn't the point of the story. The point of the story was they got out there and they saw all this. And why were they out trampling in the gate? Because the four lepers said, this is not right that we should keep this. Can I paraphrase a little bit here? That we should keep this from the kingdom. The kingdom is starving and we're doing nothing. It won't be well with us if we're not working with the kingdom. So they went back and told the king, and the king said, I don't believe it. And his guy said, so what's the problem here? We got five horses still alive in the city. Let's send four of them out. So the king sent two chariots out. I don't know whether they were one horse or two horse chariots, but he sent them out to see. They came back and corroborated the verified facts, if I can put it that way. And so that's why they were all going out. Someone persuaded the king to finally believe. It's interesting, because the king had sent to take Elijah's head off because Elijah wasn't doing anything. And Elijah knew it before he got there. Elijah had the Spirit of God in this situation talking to him. He knew the king was a no good, and he knew the messengers were no good. And when they were coming, he knew that he was up to no good. And told them, bar the door, and then the king showed up. He said, why should I put up with this anymore? In other words, you're the prophet, you should do something. The king was trying to make something happen. And he was going to God to get it to happen, because he was wearing sackcloth underneath his robes already. So isn't that good? But when he got there, he wouldn't believe it. And his servant, his number one guy, wouldn't believe it. And then we got to our scripture today, which was God telling the servant in Matthew 18 that if he was forgiven, he should also forgive. And forgiveness is a big part of walking with the Lord in the kingdom. Do you understand? Forgiveness is functional in the kingdom. That's why whenever he talks about the things that you get from the kingdom, you know how much the church still thinks you get things from your salvation? You do get things from your salvation. You get spirit, soul, and body, and they'll end up in heaven. And you can get all three, spirit, soul, and body, fixed if you want, or you can just get your spirit into heaven, and you can ignore your body and be in torment in your soul. But if you want all three fixed, you can get them all fixed. And then people think that that salvation gets them kingdom. And Jesus made it so plain. The church will go back to the old covenant to get things. And Jesus said, seek the kingdom and the things will come. But we don't want to talk about kingdom. Because kingdom requires you to mature and walk as part of the body of Christ, be obedient to him, and to love one another as he loved you. And part of that is forgiveness. So it comes around to that. So he was talking about kingdom one day, because they said, look at the tree withered. I'm in Mark 11. Look at the tree withered. And he said, have faith in God. Whoever says to this mountain, he's not talking about salvation, be thou removed and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says is going to happen, it shall be. Or he shall have whatever he's saying. That's an operation of faith, and it's a fundamental in kingdom. Then he says something interesting, because he says this is fundamental in the kingdom. I'm going to show you how to go forward. All things, just like Matthew 6, all things for which you pray and ask, believe you have received them. Believe. The king refused to believe. The servant refused to believe. Believe. Cross over into kingdom. Believe. He was talking kingdom, wasn't talking salvation. Believe. All things. The realm of all things, not the realm of you getting to heaven, the realm of you walking on the earth with things. All things for which you pray and ask, believe you have received, and they'll be, or they'll be granted, or they'll be yours. They will be. There's a time function in there, isn't there? There's the prayer, there's the faith, there's the time, there's the manifestation. Or as the writer of Hebrews puts it, you believe until it's manifest. You don't believe after you get it. You believe before you get it. The world wants to say, I believe after I get it. Seeing is believing, is what the world says. Then he says something interesting, because he's talking kingdom. And when you are praying, if you have anything against someone else, forgive. Because if you don't forgive, your Father doesn't forgive you. And to operate in kingdom is to operate as the forgiven. People confuse that with salvation. But he's talking kingdom. Because there's a sin unto death. And you can't pray for that. But you can pray for the sins that aren't unto death, John says. And you can forgive the sins of others. You can remit the sins of others. They will be remitted. But there is a sin unto death. I do not say you should pray for that. Well, the sin unto death is the one that takes away life. And your life is hid in Christ. And you come unto him for salvation. He is your life. But then there's a kingdom. And the kingdom carries the born again across the earth until there's heaven. And because the kingdom is not preached and not entered into and not dedicated to, not sought first, there is stress and weariness on the face of the earth for the body of Christ. They call him Lord, Lord, but do not do what he says, and their house collapses because they're not listening to him. But he's the Lord, kingdom, not the Savior, not the Redeemer, not the Healer, the Lord, kingdom. Because Hebrews says, everything's going to be shaken. But we receive a, what does it say? Hebrews 12, a salvation that can't be shaken. I lied. We receive a kingdom that can't be shaken, but we know nothing about it and we don't enter it. And we're not taught it and we perish for lack of knowledge. Well, let's get to where we're going today. Where are we going today? We're going to start in Corinthians. Today we're going to talk about faith. Can you see how faith is mixed up in all this? 2 Corinthians 5. This is so you can actually follow in your Bible now. 2 Corinthians 5:6. You should underline 7. Therefore, being always of good courage. Why do you need courage? Because the kingdom is walked amongst the enemy. The kingdom is provided, but you will walk through the valley and the shadow of death. The kingdom needs the rod and the staff to comfort you, because there is an adversary, the god of this world, and his kingdom is going to become the kingdom of our Lord. Always being of good courage and knowing that while we're at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. Verse 7. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We walk by faith, not by sight. Is that true? Well, those who are walking should walk that way. We walk by faith, not by sight. Mark 4. All things for which you pray and ask, by the way, believe, I'm in Mark 11, believe you have received. Believe. Faith. We walk by believing we have received. We walk by believing we have received salvation. And salvation is granted to us. For we believe in our heart and we confess with our mouth, Romans 10:10. And we're justified when we believe and we are saved when we confess. So we're walking by faith, not by sight. Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word of Christ or by the word of God, depending on your translation. Both are the same meaning, by the way. Faith comes by hearing. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Chapter 2 of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians. Eye has not seen, nor ear has not heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man. Why does it have to enter into the heart of the man? Because with the heart, man believes. Romans 10:10. With the heart, man believes. If it doesn't enter the heart, you don't believe. You may hope, you may desire, you may want, you may crave. But what you have to do is believe you have received. Or as Jesus put it in Mark 4, when he's trying to help people understand the categories. I said categories because for Wenzel, and he's not even here. It's kind of, it hurts. But Mark 4, spend a little time there. Mark 4, 14. I started verse 13, and he said to them, "Do you not understand this parable?" This is the parable of the seeds and the sower, I guess you could say. "Do you not understand this parable? How will you understand all the parables? Without grasping how the Spirit works and how the Word works, you will not understand the parables." Which parables? All the parables. Do you remember John 3? Jesus is talking to Nicodemus, a guy who's supposed to understand a lot of these things. And he says, one of the most important verses in the Bible. 3:8. You just stay where you are. 3:6, sorry. "That which is born of the flesh is flesh. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not be amazed that I said to you, you must be born again." Verse 8, underline it when you get there someday. "The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but do not know where it comes from and where it is going. So is everyone," that's you, "everyone who is born of the Spirit." So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. The sower sows the word. So we're talking about faith. Faith makes all things possible. You probably know that. And you're wondering why your faith doesn't work, which means you have a lack of faith to begin with. Because one of the first things you need to do is start believing your faith will work, and that it will work based on the Word, that it does work, that it always works, that it never fails, that it will always be there. Faith, hope, and love are always there. Faith is the substance of a thing you hope for. Start to believe it does work when you believe. Rule number one: God will work with whatever you believe. Negative or positive, by the way. That's how Job got famous. "That which I feared has come upon me," he said. Rule number two: stop believing what you don't want. Stop believing what you don't want. Well, how do I do that? I've got the negative thing coming, and I can see it everywhere. Stop believing what you don't want. But I can see it. Stop walking by sight. Start to walk by faith. Well, it's coming. How can I change it? By faith. But faith is no longer believing what you don't want. It's believing what you do want. Do you have the discipline to do that? Well, Jesus never wanted me to have discipline, did he? Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I'm telling you to do? I'll show you what it's like. The one who calls me Lord, Lord, I'm in Luke 6:46, and obeys what I'm saying is like the man who digs deep until he gets to rock. And on this rock he builds his house. And the storm comes and it cannot shake it. For we receive a kingdom that runs on faith, that cannot be shaken. And I don't try and get my kingdom out of my salvation. I got my salvation in order to get into my kingdom. That's one of the reasons I got born again, was to see it and to enter it. And I'm here to tell you, you don't know very much about kingdom. But the beauty of it is this. As soon as you seek it first, all these things are moving to you. You don't need to graduate to get the gold medal. How do you know that? That's what Jesus said, so just believe it. Let faith come by hearing, and hearing that word of Christ. Let faith come to you. Let you have ears to hear. So I got to have the sower sowing the word. I'm in Mark 4, and you're still there. 14 down to 21. And he was saying to them, a lamp isn't brought to be put under a basket, is it, or under a bed? Is it not brought to be put on the lampstand? For nothing is hidden except to be revealed. Nor has anything been secret, but that it would come to light. All those things that you're sowing the word on, that you would pray and ask, they are designed to be revealed. They are designed to be in the category of everything. Nothing, he said, is hidden except to be revealed. Your faith is on the thing that's hidden. You don't have faith for what you see. Hebrews tells us that. You have faith for what is hidden. I believe for what is hidden. But I'm worried. I believed all day yesterday, and I don't see it today. Just believe. Well, what if I don't see it tomorrow? Stop thinking about tomorrow. That's a sin. Take no thought for tomorrow, for the things of life. Stop it. Your disobedience makes you the one with the house that collapses. It's on sand. It's always shifting from sight to sight, to day to day. And he was saying to them, if anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. The word is designed to bring what is to be revealed. Matthew 6, Mark 4, Jesus is simply preaching Isaiah 55. The key verse of Isaiah 55 is verse 11, which says, so shall my word be, which goes forth out of my mouth, it shall not return to me void. It will not stay hidden. But it will cause things to bear and sprout. So how do you know it's going to happen? How do you know what's going to happen? You know it's going to happen because you believed it. It's a thing for which you prayed and asked and believed you had received. Whosoever says to this mountain and does not doubt in his heart, but believes what he's saying. I believe what I'm saying. I said it. It's happening. That's the authority and the power of faith in the kingdom of God. It's the authority of a believer. Hi, Peter. You might as well stay too. That way. He's over two now. It's got to be you. And then he says, take care. If the word that you're hearing and sowing, the word you're hearing causes faith, and then you sow a word back. So shall my word be, my word be, my word be, that it will not go out of my mouth and come back void. Isaiah 55:11. Then take care what you listen to. Mark 4:24. Take care what you listen to. By your standard of measure, it'll be measured to you. Well, I don't sure I can believe it. That's your standard of measure. It's both quality and quantity. Well, I heard it, but I can't remember exactly what it is. That is quantity. I'm learning to play the piano. I want to play a grand piano. We got one in the church. Every year I come along and I look for middle C. It's in here somewhere. Middle C. Now, I'm pretty sure it's either this one. Is that maybe? If it's not, then it's this one. That's not middle C. Okay. Middle C. See? So far, so good. Next year, I'm coming back, and I'm looking for D. I think I have a quantity problem in my piano playing. I think I may not be doing it enough. The quantity instruction is to meditate on the word. What's Romans 10:17 say? Faith comes by hearing the word. If you have ears to hear, hear. And the quantitative instruction in Scripture for those who are guaranteed success is to meditate on the word day and night. But I'm giving that piano a good 10 seconds of my time every year, and I still can't play the way I want to. I still don't get the results I'm looking for. Now, it's either my problem or God's problem when I don't get what I ask for. God either didn't mean it when he said it, or he meant it and I didn't believe it. He says, I have to believe it. I can say he just didn't mean it. Either he's right or I'm right. Most people who argue with God lose. By your standard of measure, it will be measured to you. I am fervent, I am dedicated, I am disciplined, I am in the Word, I am worshiping in the Spirit 15 minutes a day, which is more than a lot of Christians. More than a lot of Christians, most North American Christians, but not necessarily other Christians. And they're getting 15 minutes a day of miracles, pressed down, shaken together. 15 minutes is 1% of your day. And 99% of your day is, what do they call it? hell on earth. So you want to tip that scale a little bit. You want to tip your standard of measure so that it's measured to you. But I gotta watch as the world turns. More will be given you besides. It'll be measured to you and more besides. You can get 30 minutes of blessing out of 15 minutes of believing. Suppose you believed for an hour. That's a lot of time. That's 4% of your day. How could you ever give up? You're down to 96% of doing nothing useful. But I might get an hour and a half back. This is kind of a silly analogy, but what I'm telling you is by your standard of measure, it'll be measured to you and more besides. Think of a standard as both a qualitative standard and a quantitative standard. In other words, I'm very spiritual and I'm listening to my CHVM when I drive the car. So my quality is a bunch of Christian music. Some of that music may actually have the word. Some of it just has announcements about some youth group going to hold a rally someplace. Some of it's just advertisements of people who want to reach Christians as buyers. But I'm listening to a Christian radio. The sower sows the word. For whoever has, to him more shall be given. And whoever does not have, even what he has shall be taken away from him. You know who comes to rob, steal from you? How can he do it? Because you're more in his kingdom than you are in God's kingdom. That's why. So your faith comes from his words, not your words or God's words. He allows your words to be words of faith. Whosoever says to the mountain, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. So, we're now getting to our lesson for today on faith. I think we've put enough foundation down here. Let's examine our lesson for today. Mark 4:26. And he was saying, it's all the same lesson. It's all about the word. And he was saying, the kingdom of God. What? Was this kingdom we were talking about? I thought it was salvation. Me and Jesus. I only ride a motorcycle. It's a single seater. The kingdom of God is like a man who casts seed upon the soil. The sower sows, what's the seed? The word. And he goes to bed at night. And he gets up by day. Why is there always time when you're operating in faith? Faith is the great force before eternity. Time, you know how you're going to live? You're going to live time and eternity. The kingdom of God is like a man who casts seed upon the soil. He goes to bed at night, gets up by day. And the seed sprouts and grows. What's the seed? The word. The word is sprouting and growing. What will the word produce? It causes something to sprout and grow. What does it produce? Seeds produce after their kind. Is it a word of faith? Is it a word of hope? Is it a word of knowledge? Is it a word of comfort? Is it a word of prophecy? The seed sprouts and grows. Now here's something interesting. How? He himself does not know. This, 2 Corinthians 5:7, we walk by faith, not by sight. Sight is a light operation. It's an understanding operation. The entrance of thy word gives light. It gives understanding to the wise. But you don't know how that word is operating in the soil. Oh, by the way, what's the soil? The soil, what is the environment the seed needs? Faith. With the heart, man believes. What's he wording? Believing. He's believing the word. He's believing the word that was sown. The heart believes the word that is sown. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. How? He himself does not know. Your head does not fully understand or even partially understand how your spirit works. How your spirit takes a word, and what does it do? The soil produces crops by itself. It doesn't need you. It doesn't need your sight. Your believing does not need your carnal or temporal agreement. Your believing needs the word, and it needs to hold on to the word, and it needs to be careful what it listens to. It needs to be careful what is in that soil, and it needs to have a measure that can work. Glenn was telling me the other day, he started a new crop. It's the lava bean or fava bean or something. And he put one out in the field. And he set aside a bin for it. A 2,000 bushel bin. But he's got one bean out there in the field. And he's pretty sure the soil will produce a crop. By his standard of measure, it's going to be measured to him. Don't go to him for faba beans. The seed sprouts and grows. How? He himself does not know. The soil produces crops by itself. You don't need to nurse it. You don't need to help it. You need to cooperate with it and stay disciplined and focused on it. Measured to it. 1st the blade, then the head, then the mature grain in the head. Always a time. There's always seed time and harvest. And I'll tell you something, as long as the earth remains, there'll be seed time and harvest. Then the head, then the mature grain in the head. But when the crop permits, it's not your anxiety, it's when the crop permits. In other words, when the work in the spirit is done, the soil, the spirit is producing the crop. Your flesh can't hurry it, it can only hinder it. You can't make the crop come faster, but you can destroy it or walk away from it. You can stop taking care of what you listen to. You can be anxious for tomorrow. But when the crop permits, he immediately puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. It doesn't sometimes come in the Spirit. It always comes. If there's word and faith. Thank you for coming. Talk a little bit more about this on Tuesday. If Anita doesn't show up. But if she shows up, I don't know what she's going to talk about. It'll be good. It'll be good, or we won't bring out the Kool-Aid. That's all there is to it.